Kate from Venison for Dinner. And something I never seem to be able to do enough videos about to satisfy your guys' questions and curiosities is a milking machine. So today's video is an attempt at as short and sweet and informative as possible on the specs of our milking machine, how to put it on a cow, and how to clean it afterwards. So, let's get started. Our milking machine is homemade. It sits on a garden cart, and it consists of four main parts. We have the vacuum pump. We have a pressure tank, which also acts as an overflow protection for your vacuum pump. We have the claw. And we have the milking can. Our vacuum pump is a 1 horsepower, 12 CFM pump. You can buy these off of Amazon. I have used a 3/4 horsepower, 8 CFM pump. The CFM is its capacity for a vacuum. 8 it would be like minimum, for sure. 12, I like the 12 better. 12 is, with the 1 horsepower, is more than we need. The 3/4 horsepower, 8 CFM was just what we needed. Because you're trying to get to...
So the gauge here helps tell us what vacuum we're at. So in INHG, we're at negative 12. Red is PSI, I think. So in negative PSI, we're at 40. Negative 40, I believe, is what that is. So this here, okay, so the vacuum pump suctions, attaches to this pipe housing, which has... Oh, I don't know what that's called. A diffuser of sorts, I guess. And then this valve helps us adjust what our vacuum's at, and this tells us what our vacuum's at. This then comes through to here, and this attaches to the back of the vacuum canister overflow protection. This is 5 gallons worth of capacity, and you have to seal everything really well. Then, this is the air hose that has the suction. I'm gonna show you that part once I have the machine together. So in my bucket, where it was cleaned, I have the seal off of the lid. Our lid does not lock. Our lid just is vacuumed on, which is kind of annoying, but it's the style of bucket that it is. So the seal gets washed and taken off every time, so I gotta put it on. There is sometimes some water in this line, so I drain it. On my air hose here, I have a hose clamp. This helps me to get the pressure I need. Come on, click in. Building. Without having to hold this kinked, which is super annoying. So we're gonna turn this on, and it's gonna get a little noisier here. I hold on here until I see a few inches of mercury vacuum building, and then I can leave it. Our claw is a new pulse claw. The pulsator is on the claw, and this is a dairy farm style. What I like about this versus other pulsators is that it's very easy to... I have a couple pulsator repair kits with all these spare parts, and if something gets broken or goes missing, it's very easy for me to fix. I had a Surge bucket milker, a belly milker, a long time ago, and it was very hard for me to fix and to find replacement parts. These I just order from a dairy supply. So, on the claw, the pulsator goes, and when it has to come off afterwards because it needs to dry because of the way I wash it. So
So I recommend the first many times you're using it, you actually have a pulsator assembly picture you can just print off the internet out here with you, because it can go together in other ways, but it won't pulse in other ways. So these are the inflation cups, is the metal part, and this is the inflation liner. The milk comes in through this, and the air suctions through this on the outside of the liner, but inside the cup as well. I will link other videos for you on how we do our whole process. This one is purely about the milking machine. But if you look in the video description, little Philly's cow's belly, I will have other videos linked for you. Okay, so I want to make sure my bucket, my hose, it got tangled here, so I'm just gonna untangle it. And I want my bucket, well, my cow's belly is here, so we're kind of in line with that. So I flip the claw pulsator up. And then, if your inflations are really new or it's cold out, this is harder, for sure. But these are a little worn in, they've been used for a couple months, and they kink fairly well. So I grab two and they kink. And then the third one I can grab here. This is the first one I'm gonna attach. So I leave it loose, not in my hands. I press it against myself to kink it. Then I undo the hose clamp. So I built up a little too much vacuum. I'm at 20 and the cow's gonna pee on me here. So we're gonna wait. We're gonna hose clamp it back up. If I already had the machine on her, it would be fine because it's a closed system, but now I need to wipe her again. Okay, so you hear the pulsator going. I'm over vacuum. Okay, so now I'm at the right vacuum. And this is a good pace. I know you can adjust the speed of the pulsator in this. This is a good pace. So the strategy here is that I take this and I kink it upwards so it's still kinked. I put it right below the teat I want and then I lift it up and it unsuctions. Sorry, it suctions on and unkinks. So I do the same thing. I have this kinked and facing upwards, and when I lift it up to the teat, it unkinks and vacuums on. So it's still kinked, and I kink it up, so now it's actually double kinked. Put it to the end of the teat and lift it up, and it unkinks. If you feel like they're hanging low on the teat, you can like break the suction to like help it pop up a bit. Make sure none are real. So my hose is on the ground, but the hose has some good stiffness to it. So I have it so that this part isn't on the ground, so that this part is pulling weight. Like if it was like this and it was low down here, it would be pulling more on the front teats and less on the back teats, and it wouldn't milk out evenly. So do make sure that it's kind of holding freely and isn't like pulling one way or the other. As you can see, the milk comes in one and this is the air vacuum coming out the other. This next part is controversial. The milk flow is not done yet, so I'm not gonna do this just yet. How you can tell if she's milked out on all corners is if I pull on this one, this is like stripping them when you're hand milking. And it shows me how much milk flow is still left. So her backs always have more. So what I do when the milk flow in the hose has slowed to almost nothing is I put some pressure on the claw, on the pulsator, but I'm doing it like this. So I'm putting more pressure on the back inflations because that's where I know she has more milk left, because I know this cow. Some people say you shouldn't do this and it trains them to hold back and let down that bit at the end. but I haven't experienced negative things with this, so. I took longer to get to milking because I was explaining stuff after I'd already brought them in, and so I know that this milking is a little funny for them, and this will make sure that she gets properly milked out. So my milk can holds 5.5 gallons of milk. I have to judge between cows if I think I need to dump this milk into a 5 gallon milk pail, just a 5 gallon bucket with a lid that's clean only for milk. Do I have to dump it in between? Recently, I have not had to. To start off, when they were first on grass, I had to dump in between because they each gave 3 and it was just too much. But recently I've been fitting it all in. So we'll check that and we gotta make a guess. You'll basically always get a little bit more milk, but when I'm satisfied that, you know, there's really not much more coming out, I pull one off and this breaks the suction for all of them. I'm gonna check the milk can here. Oh yeah, I definitely have space. So I hold this with my knee because it can like flop funny sometimes. And I kink the hose. Still learning and you can't multitask too many things. That's why I have the hook on my cart that our friend welded on for me. We had a friend who's very good at these sort of things assemble this machine for us. He had worked at dairy farms before growing up, and he knew like what parts we had and what we needed, and so he put this together for us because it was really hard for me to wrap my head around. Now I feel like I could build one of these myself, no problem, because I've used it for enough years. We don't use it year round. We use it when we have 2 cows and lots of milk, and usually only in warm weather, because in colder weather we have to bring this thing inside and that's annoying. We would rather hand milk then. But summer, we got a lot more going on. This streamlines the process. So Jessa only has 3 working quarters. So I like to do it, these on her 3 working quarters, and this one out here gets a plug. This is from the dairy supply store. Her working quarter is the back far side, so technically it would be this one, but I like to have it just the loose one here, and I'll show you why. So same deal, I kink these two. Well, I actually kink 2 like this, and then I can hold that 3rd, and then this one doesn't need to be kinked. Open up the hose clamp. I'm gonna bleed off my extra extra vacuum. I wouldn't normally always have so much extra vacuum, but because I'm talking to you guys, I'm waiting. So, Jessa is also lower to the ground. So, as you can see, the ground is a lot closer to her. Like, here is a 1 gallon bucket underneath of her. So you need to be careful that your inflations don't suck up the shavings. Then your milk is not good anymore. So we have this one kinked. I do the back one first, and it sucked on there. I grab the one on the underneath and I hold it up away from, and this one. So then this one here, the reason I do it this way is I know her back quarter produces the most. So I tuck this between the air hose and the milk hose. This puts a bit of extra pressure on her. This is going a little fast. It does that when it's trying to make up pressure, but it's actually got enough pressure. Sorry, vacuum. I was calling it pressure. When your pulsator pulses slower, your vacuum is too high. When your pulsator pulses faster, your vacuum is too little and it's trying to make up for it, and it's trying to get more. If you're milking and your vacuum is dropping because you're not sure why, sometimes it's that your pulsator isn't on properly. Maybe part of the seal or whatever, or if your pulsator is cold, if the rubber parts are cold, I recommend the first thing you do is you play a quick game where you clamp the milk hose and you take off the pulsator and put it back on again real quick and then undo it. And it should stay on, especially if you support underneath a little bit. It should stay on the cow for that process. If you're in cold weather and you're having this as a repeated issue, what I often do is I throw the pulsator in my warm wash bucket before I start milking, before I even wash the cows, I throw it in there so that the rubber is warming up. And then before I actually put it on the claw, I just go and I rinse it. I have a bucket of clean water for washing the machine out here. So I just rinse it in that and then put it on the machine. So far, the maintenance on our vacuum pump has been very minimal. We just have to make sure it has enough vacuum pump oil. We did have one that after a couple years was having some issues, and so Mac took it apart and gave it a good clean, and then it works just fine again. Same as the last cow, I put some pressure on. When I'm sure she's done, pull one off. The rest, the difference is this one. Now I just shut the machine off right away. Pull the plug out before you forget that you have a plug in there and clean it with the plug in. Grab the lid too. Pop the claw on the hook. Take the lid. Put it in the plug in the bucket. I deal with the milk. Which is just my clean 5-gallon bucket. Plug it in right away. This is so when you get to the point when you're gonna clean it and you gotta turn it on, it's already plugged in. So I have my bucket of cool, plain water. Throw my lid back on my bucket, on my milking can, sorry. I have my bucket that had the dirty lid and the dirty plug in it. And I'm gonna put about a quarter cup of bleach. I'm gonna take my clean water and I'm gonna pour it in this bucket. Now this bucket is essentially clean. I give it a quick rinse when I go inside, but otherwise that's a clean bucket. I still have one wash rag left in my wash bucket. I don't put rags back in. Once I take a rag out to clean a cow, it does not go back in, so that this is warm, soapy, clean water. I always have an extra rag, more than I need. So, oh yeah, see, that loves to happen. It didn't get dirty. If it did get dirty, I would dump a bit of water on it to rinse off the stuff. The claw goes in the bucket, and we turn the machine on. Once water starts sucking, I can hold off of there. And we lift it in and out so that it sucks air and creates a scrubbing motion. And this scrubs the milk hose. And then when I'm almost at the bottom, I got about an inch of water, I pull it out and lift it up. And then hook it on here. And turn my machine off. Now, we take the seal off and we put it in this bleach water. Give it a good shake around. And then I just hold this under here. Then I take my warm soapy water here and I clean off the lid, especially right around the openings is where it likes to build up some. The top obviously matters less, but it's still good for your whole machine to be clean. So then, I take this, which still has some water in it, and I rinse the lid. The plugs just stay in there the whole time. So these things go in here. I take the pulsator off, drain it, and it goes in this bucket. These get a bit of water in them because of the way I clean it. So I pop all them. Actually, I do have a bit of water left, so it's fine. Just drain it. So this goes here, in there. We clean our machine and leave it outside, which some people are like, what? But like an open air barn has a lot better air quality than in a house. The cows aren't in here by the machine, and I make cheese. Cheese will show you anything you are doing wrong with your milk. Your cheese will not turn out. So that's why I am confident in this way too, and I know people who get their milk tested that do it this way, and they're good. So, with my bucket now of warm soapy water, I clean the outside of the bucket. Again, this doesn't matter for the cleanliness of the milk so much, but it matters because who wants to use milk from a dirty milking can, right? So I do put it back in after this because this is the last time I'm using it. And I'm gonna get some bleach water from in here and clean the rim. And then the last thing I do is I clean the bottom. The last thing I do is I empty this, but I give it a real good shake. Another reason that we clean it outside and dump it outside is that we don't want to dump bleach water into our septic system every day. That's not good for your septic system. Give it a final dump. And with this, I'll hang it here. Now my machine is clean. I'm gonna go inside and deal with milk, which I'm not gonna show you because I show you that in enough other videos. You'll notice that I don't rinse the bleach water out afterwards. This is because chlorine off-gasses, and it adds a level of protection between now and milking before that chlorine is fully off-gassed. It is open, air can flow for a bit. We were putting the machine back together before leaving it, and that is, we actually then did have buildup in the lines. It does need airflow. I deep clean my machine, which I'm not showing you today, in which I take it all apart, scrub it with soapy water, rinse it, soak it in citric acid or vinegar water until just before next milking time, then I dump it, rinse it, put it all back together, rinse it with clean water, and then milk. The important thing though, before you, if you're going to be deep cleaning, you skip the bleach in your machine clean. You just clean it with water out here and then bring it in and do your deep clean, because bleach and acids don't make great things together. Chemistry. I will be deep cleaning my machine soon. I just did it last week and I only do it every few weeks. So when I do it next, I will pull it apart, and I'll do that on video.